we're going to take a little, we're going to suspend our series that we're doing on who we are and where we're going. So we're going to be talking about Father's Day. And I've been doing a lot of thinking about fatherhood over the last week or so. And I listened to a few messages and read a few articles about it. And it's interesting to hear how humble men are when they talk about Father's Day. It's hard for most fathers to think about the meaning of Father's Day. So I started to kind of think about why it is such a humbling time. It's a day that is set aside to honor how great we are or have been at being a father when most of us feel that we have fallen short in so many ways. There are many things that we should have done differently or that we could do differently or that we feel we could have done better, maybe if we look in hindsight. But it's really hard for us to grasp this day. It's not so hard for women because they actually do deserve Mother's Day. You know, women deserve Mother's Day. Men don't always feel like they deserve Father's Day. And we're going to talk about why. So today in this country, we are experiencing a lack of fathers. I remember listening, or I was reading an article, and I decided to look it up just to see if it was true. But I read an article that said that in her later years, Lucille Ball, you guys remember Lucille Ball? I love Lucy, the redhead gal. Pretty funny. We've got some folks that think that Carmi and Jackie are the Lucy and Ethel, I think. But anyway, but Lucille Ball was asked shortly, you know, a couple years before she died. She was in old age. They asked her what was wrong with society today. What was her opinion of what? And this was, how many years ago did she die? I don't know, 30, 20 years ago?
No, not
15? 10? Okay. Well, it was not yesterday. So it was a few, you know, it was maybe a generation ago, or at least, you know, a decade ago. And so they asked her what was wrong with society today. And she hesitated for a moment. And she thought about it. And she said, "Papa is missing." That's all she said was, "Papa is missing." And that's what she thought was wrong with society. The problems that we face today stem from the fact that our men are not being the fathers that they are called to be. And I went and looked up a few statistics, quite a few statistics. I only kept a few in because I didn't want to be here all day explaining the data and the research. But one of the statistics that I found was 1 out of 6 children are born without knowing who their father is. 1 out of 6 today. And this was in 2012. So recent numbers. 1 out of 6 children are born without knowing who the father is. Not only do they not have a father around, but they don't even know who he is. This is, and when I looked into the numbers, I realized it's not a poverty issue. We think, oh, well, you know, certain urban, you know, inner city poverty, you know, that's their issue. But in reality, it's not really a poverty issue. I looked further into the numbers, and it said that it's also true for the middle class. One study that I saw that said that middle class fathers have 1 to 2 interactions with their children daily. 1 to 2 interactions. And each interaction lasted between 10 and 20 seconds. Altogether, that's 40 seconds. And they actually did a separate statistic in the same study said that the average time that a father spends with his children in the suburbs was 37 seconds a day. And these are kids that have fathers. 37 seconds a day. Regardless of what society says, there's a deep longing inside of our children that can only be filled by their father. And regardless of what society says, the father's behavior affects the children. Go ahead and open up to Exodus chapter 20. We're going to be jumping around quite a bit. And I have my scriptures on the computer here, so I'm hoping that there's no technical difficulties here. But Exodus chapter 20, a lot of you know this chapter as the Ten Commandments chapter. That's right, yeah. So Exodus chapter 20, verses 5 and 6. This is just kind of to prove the point that fathers do matter. Chapter 20, verse 5 and 6. "You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, responding to the transgressions of fathers by dealing with children to the third and fourth generation of those who reject me, and showing covenant faithfulness to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. God cares about the behavior of fathers and grandfathers and so on and so forth. The father's rebellion or the father's obedience matters. There have been many studies down in the area of the influence done in the area of the influence that a father has on children, and a lot of them are recent. When fathers aren't present, there's an increased likelihood of poverty, violence, low educational achievement, teen pregnancy, crime, substance abuse, and even suicide. All of those. Now, that's not to say that, you know, you could have two parents that are perfect and this happens, but the odds are higher, or the percentages are much, much higher for all of these, in all of these areas, for those who are without fathers specifically. That's poverty, violence, low educational achievement, teen pregnancy, crime, substance abuse, and suicide. So I did a quick search of fatherhood or father or fathers, the different terms used for fatherhood in the Bible. There are more than 1,570 citations of the words father, fathers, or fatherless, or fatherhood, depending on which translation you use, that are found in the scriptures. Most are used in a genealogical. So if you say, oh, so-and-so was the father of so-and-so, you know, or so-and-so's fathers, you know, forefathers, whatever. So most of them are genealogical, but there are some that are not, that are actually specific instructions for fathers. So our role as a father is to copy the blueprint that's laid out for us in scriptures. Now, what I did was I came up with 5 points, 5 suggestions. And I'm not specifically giving these out just to the fathers, because it doesn't necessarily say just the fathers are able to do these things. Because these 5 things are Christian principles. They're not Christian father's principles. So because it's Father's Day, I put fathers on the outline, father's roles, or father's things that they should do. But in reality, these are all things, principles that we can all practice that would be good in our lives. Mothers, siblings, grandmothers, grandfathers. Okay, so these are 5 things that are applicable to all of us, but I wanted to specifically touch on those fathers because of what today is. So I found a few things in the Bible that instruct us on how to live, and then I compared these to things that are in these studies that I looked up. A couple of the studies, one of them was James Dobson's study from last year, or maybe it was a couple years ago, but he did a book about it, and I forget the title of the book, but I read a couple of the articles about the book that kind of highlighted some of these points. So you could look up James Dobson, and then there was also a secular website that I found that was livescience.com, I think. So if you Google father's roles or a father's effect in children's lives, you'll come up with a lot of articles that back this up. So the 5 principles that I have are ones that we find in scripture and ones that we find in the studies that help improve the odds for kids. So these are both biblical and science-based, sort of. Christian science, or not Christian science, but you know what I'm saying. Science that's Christian-based. Yeah, an oxymoron, Christian science. But this is these are things that kind of that I think would be universally accepted by Christians. So the first one is the overarching principle of love. You look at it in 1 Corinthians 13, all over the Bible, but that's basically the love chapter. And I remember we used to have a pastor, an elder at the last church that we were at that said, how do you spell love? T-I-M-E. Time. Not L-O-V-E. Well, yeah, that's a technical way of spelling love. But really, you spell love by time. That's how we project our love. Spending time with our children. And one of the things that came up when I was thinking about, and I'm going to try to get through this without crying too much. There was a story that was put on Facebook a couple of months, or maybe years ago, I don't know. And I didn't read it until a few months ago, because I'd seen on Facebook, you don't read everything. You kind of, maybe some of you do, but I don't read everything. I skip through a few things that look like they're too long and won't keep my attention. But one time, one of my friends says, you have to read this. I've seen this before, but I never read it all the way through. So I read it all the way through a few months back. Hopefully we can get through this. So the man came home from work late again, tired and irritated, to find his 5-year-old son waiting for him at the door. "Daddy, may I ask you a question?" "Yeah, sure, what is it?" the man replied. "Daddy, how much money do you make an hour?" "Well, that's none of your business. What makes you ask such a thing?" the man said angrily. "I just want to know. Please tell me, how much do you make an hour?" pleaded the little boy. "If you must know, I make $20 an hour." "Oh," the little boy replied, head bowed. Looking up, he said, "Daddy, may I borrow $10, please?" The man was furious. "If the only reason you wanted to know how much money I make is just so that you can borrow some to buy a silly toy or some other nonsense, then you march yourself straight to your room and go to bed. Think about why you're being so selfish. I work long, hard hours every day and don't have time for such childish games." The little boy quietly went to his room and shut the door. The man sat down and started to get even madder about the little boy's questioning. How dare he ask such questions only to get some money? After an hour or so, the man had calmed down and started to think he may have been a little harsh on his son. Maybe there was something he really needed to buy with that $10, and he really didn't ask for money very often. The man went to the door of the little boy's room and opened the door. "Are you asleep, son?" he asked. "No, Daddy. I'm awake," replied the boy. "I've been thinking. Maybe I was too hard on you earlier," said the man. "It's been a long day, and I took my aggravation out on you. Here's that $10 you asked for." The little boy sat straight up, beaming. "Oh, thank you, Daddy," he yelled. Then he reached under his pillow and pulled out some more crumpled up bills. The man, seeing the boy already had money, started to get angry again. The little boy slowly counted out his money and then looked up at the man. Why did you want more money if you already had some?" the father grumbled. "Because I didn't have enough, but now I do," the little boy replied. "Daddy, I have $20 now. Can I buy an hour of your time? Please come home early tomorrow. I would like to have dinner with you." The father was crushed, and he put his arms around his little son. And the author's unknown. But anyway, make your children a priority. Be joyful when you spend time with them. They know if you're lying. If you're spending time with them out of coercion because the wife says you have to, or because, you know, you feel guilty, then they'll know. They'll know that you're faking it. So when you spend time with them, be joyful and let it be sincere joy. Honest joy. They can sense a fraud when they see one. So number one was love. I don't know, I gave you quite a bit of room on this outline. I don't know if you want to fill it in with a bunch of that other stuff, but 1 Corinthians 13, if you need to know what love is. The second point that I thought was a good one is communication. Communication. And the verse that I have for that one is James chapter 1, verse 19. It isn't the best verse probably for this specific point, but I'll read it anyway. "Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. Let every person be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger." Now, this isn't specifically talking about your kids, but this is a Christian principle in general. We should be like this with everybody. Quick to listen. The second part is slow to speak and slow to anger. Okay, so this is number two, bullet point two, communication. Listen to your kids. The goal that you have should be to know and to understand them. You also want the child to know you. This requires taking the time to talk and actually listen to what the kid is saying. Not just leaving empty space for them to talk, but to actually listen to them, to know them. Because how well are you going to parent them if you don't know them? Because every kid is different. Every soul is different. And I actually have a quote from that study, the livescience.com, I think it was, website. It says, and this is secular, "A good relationship with dad can also influence a child's sexual behavior. Teens close with their fathers start having sex later, on average." In October 2012 study in the journal of pediatrics found that. Teens listen to their dads, even if it may not seem like it. And that the study included stepfathers, biological fathers, adoptive fathers, and even male father figures, such as uncles, under the umbrella of dad. So if your teen doesn't look like they're listening, they really are. And this specific point was that they'll listen to you because they'll have sex at a lot later age if you're involved with their life. And isn't that kind of a role? I mean, a goal that we have, if we have especially young teenage daughters, if we have a relationship with them, they listen to us. If we don't have a relationship with them, they will go out and find somebody else that's a boy that will listen to them. And unfortunately, that leads to sexual activity a lot of times. So, and that was a secular website that said that. A good relationship with dad can also influence a child's sexual behavior. Teens close to their fathers start having sex later, on average. And that was October 2012. So communication. The third point that we have here, the third principle, is availability. Availability. Being available to your children. And the verse that I have for this one is in the Old Testament. I know we don't like to, you know, use the law a whole lot, but this is actually really good. Deuteronomy 6, verse 7. And you must teach them. Well, I'll back up to verse 6. These words I am commanding you today must be kept in mind. You must teach, and you must teach them to your children, and speak of them as you sit in your house, as you walk along the road, as you lie down, and as you get up. That's pretty much all day, right? And it doesn't just say teach them. It says teach them all the time and everything. When you're sitting down, when you're getting up, walking around, going to bed, getting up. I'll read that again. You must teach them to your children and speak of them as you sit in your house, as you walk along the road, maybe drive your car, I don't know, as you lie down and as you get up. That's pretty much most of the day, right? Except for maybe when you're working, but you could even bring them to children to work day. Say, so be active with them. Be involved with their everyday lives and let them be a part of your regular everyday lives. That's the point. Availability is being there for them and knowing what's going on in their lives. Let them know what's going on in your life, and that when they have something that's going on, you're there for them. Whether maybe they haven't even asked yet, you already know, because you know them. Communication and availability kind of come hand in hand. When you communicate well with them, you know when they're going to need you to be available. Okay, so availability. And I have another quote from that same website, Live Science, I think it is, livescience.com. It says, dads who nurture and play with their babies have kids who grow up to have higher IQs, according to a 2006 report by the Office on Child Abuse and Neglect. These benefits extend into the teen years. In 2001, the U.S. Department of Education found that kids with highly involved biological fathers were 43% more likely than kids without involved biological dads to earn mostly A's in school. So the A students are usually those who have a father. And then it goes on to clarify, other studies of fatherhood suggest that stepdads, adoptive fathers, and other father figures can provide the same kinds of benefits for kids as biological dads. So there's no difference really between biological and adoptive, okay? So the idea is to be available for your kids. Okay, number four is provision, to provide. All right? So 1 Timothy kind of talks about this, and we've gone through 1 Timothy recently with a past speaker, so we won't get too much into this one, but 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, if you're writing down notes in those spots, this is kind of the verse that I found that would really help with suggesting providing for your kids. So let's go ahead and read that. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. But if someone does not provide for his own, especially his own family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Pretty harsh, okay? But the idea is providing. And I started to look at the word provide. There's obviously a primary thought of the meaning of the word, and that's to make sure that they have enough food on the table, make sure they have clothing. It's kind of a monetary sense. But when I started to kind of think about it, the monetary sense is probably a huge, the biggest factor, but there's also the idea of their emotional needs that needs to be met. Okay, so if you have girls, especially fathers, if you have a girl, I've got two of them, they need a lot more emotional support, and mine are still fairly young, then maybe we realize that they need. Okay? And boys need emotional support too. So it's more than just financial, it's emotional. And in a way, now this is going to come out wrong, but in a way we need to pamper them. And there's a difference between pampering and spoiling. Okay, spoiling them means giving them everything that they want. Pampering them means that you let them know that they are special to you. And one of the goals that I have with my children is, especially my girls, but also my son, is to spend time with each one of them and to pamper them. Let them know, I love you. You're special to me. You're more special to me than most everything else. Letting them know that they're special. That's what pampering, in my view of the word, is to let them know that they're special. Treat them special. And that's very different than just spoiling them. And then we'll go into the last point. Training. And this is, I told Mark Glebe, I said, I'm gonna speak on Father's Day. I'm going to speak on fathers. And he said, well, don't bring up that verse that they always bring up, Proverbs 22:6. Well, I'm going to bring it up. He goes, they really put that one in. You know, he's heard 100 of these sermons. Well, you're not that old, but you've heard Father's Day sermons quite a bit, and you've probably heard this one many times. But Proverbs 22, verse 6, and it's a very familiar verse, and I told him I could use another verse, but it wouldn't quite be as to the point. But train a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. Train a child. Train them. Teach them. Right, in the way that he should go, exactly. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Teach them the word of God. Don't expect somebody else to do it, because it's not anybody else's job. If you're a part of a church, yes, it is part of the church's responsibility to help you, to create an environment where they can grow spiritually and grow in the maturity of the Word of God. That's the role of a church. But specifically, it's your job to train your kids the Word of God. Not the government, not the neighbors. We can do that if we have neighbors that are unbelievers and they have kids that are coming over for Bible studies. Hey, it's a good thing. But you're a believer. If you're sitting here, most likely you have a relationship with God. And so it's our job to train our kids in the right way to go. So teach them the word of God. Don't expect someone else to do it. This is also done by example. So you can teach them, you know, chalkboard, whiteboard, whatever. Teach them expository, you know, kind of classroom style teaching might not be your thing. Maybe it's teaching by example. I saw a statistic that said if both parents go to church, 72% of their children will go to church when they grow up. 72%. That's if mom and dad both go to church, 72% of the kids will go to church as well. Okay? When they're grown up, when they've become adults. If only the father goes to church, the number is 55% of children when they're adults will keep going to church. If only the mother goes to church, 15% of the children. 15. And I can see some others that are saying, yep, that's about right. 15% if your mom goes to church, 55% if your dad goes to church. Now, this is specifically to you men who have children. If you want your kids to not go to church, don't go to church. Because if you're not there, most likely they're not going to go either. If you want to set an example for your children, go to church. Because it's a lot more likely that they'll go to church. Even if you go without your wife, it's more likely that they're going to go to church. 55%. Okay, that's more than half. So men generally can have a higher impact on the spiritual training of their children. By just looking at these statistics, you go to church, you have a lot higher likelihood. If just your wife goes to church, you don't have a lot. You don't have a very high likelihood. So men have generally got a higher impact on the spiritual training of children. And it's not necessarily even the training. It's the training by example. Just going to church. That's not saying you're the pastor. That's not saying you're doing the Bible study or leading the youth groups or doing... It doesn't mean you're doing the worship team, whatever we call it, you know, the praise band, whatever. That just means you going to church, setting the example of making it a priority in your life. Now, it's getting to be about noon, which is when we like to stop at noon. So I'm going to kind of wrap up here. It'll be a few minutes yet. But a father has a tremendous impact on his children's life. You may not be aware of it. Most dads think that their work starts and ends with providing financially, which that is a nice, very noble thing to do. And it's obviously one of the 5 points is to provide. Making money for their family is their sole job, but that's not their sole job. It's important, but it's not the only thing. There are 4 other parts to being a daddy. And if you can step back and look and see why it's so hard for men to say that they enjoy Father's Day, because it's a humbling experience. I mean, my kids this last couple weeks, they've been showing it on Disney Junior or one of those TV shows, one of the TV channels that, oh, Father's Day is coming up. Father's Day is coming up. And so my kids every day, happy Father's Day. No, it's not today. It's Sunday, you know. So they've been doing it for a week now, every day. Happy Father's Day. And I have to say, no, no. And it's hard for men to grasp or even to accept the day that's given to them because we feel like we've fallen short. Kind of like that dad in the little story I read about, go to bed if you're all you're wanting is money, right? We don't spend the time, the energy that we feel like maybe we could or that we should. So it's very hard for fathers to go, I accept this. But I want to encourage you men that if you have kids, like a few of you have kids that are grown up, your job's not done. You know, I look at a few, but there's quite a few of you that have grown kids that might be out of the house already or close to, out of the house already. Your job's not done yet. Maybe the providing for them is done, but you've got the other 4, and maybe you're not done providing for them in some cases, but you've got the other 4 things to work on. Availability, communication, loving them, training them still, maybe giving them advice, being a godly example, you know, to your younger boys and girls or men and women that are your kids. Now I want to end, Andrea always says start with the bad news. So the bad news is that fathers, yeah, we're falling short. We're not perfect. And this is the day that we honor maybe what we've done right. And maybe it's a time to consider what maybe you should start doing or start improving on, areas that you can improve on. And there are more than 5 bullet points that you could bring up. You could bring up 100 probably. But these are just a few that I have. And if I want to challenge the men here, if you feel like I do, and you feel like Father's Day is not, don't waste a day on me because I don't deserve it. If you feel like me, instead of looking at it like that, look at it in a way that maybe you could improve your fathering skills. Maybe one of these 5 areas you need to look at. Maybe all of the 5 areas. If you feel like you're inadequate, find an area where you can improve and become the father that you're supposed to be. And realize that you're never going to be a perfect father because Andrea always says start with the bad news, but I'm going to end with the good news. The good news we're going to find in Galatians. And I wrote that down on your outline here. So Galatians chapter 4, and many of you probably are familiar with this chapter, or this, well, the whole book, really. We're going to start in verse 4. And we're going to see what the perfect father, the image of the perfect father. And if you ever want a good example of the perfect father, you have one in Scripture. It's God the Father. So, as we read verses 4 through 6 here, I want you to contemplate God as our Father. So Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. But when the appropriate time had come, God sent out his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we may be adopted as sons with full rights. If you haven't got a father, and this is my own wife, her dad died a couple of years ago. If you don't have a father, I know that, you know, Jackie's parents are gone, and probably, yeah, there's several of you who I'm looking at that don't have a father to celebrate Father's Day with. Maybe your husband, right? Maybe your kids are parents now, your sons are fathers now. And you can celebrate with them, but maybe some of you don't have a very good earthly father that's still alive. Maybe he's a deadbeat. Maybe he never was there. Maybe you don't even know who he is. I don't know. But if you have a hard time looking at Father's Day and going, I'm not going to honor my father because he was never there. He was never part of my life. Or he's gone now, and it's more sadness, sorrow, maybe like in my wife's case, because he died fairly young. You know, maybe it's a sad time of year because Father's Day is a touchy subject with you. If you have a bad time with Father's Day because of one reason or another with your earthly father, I want you to look at it in terms of you have a greater father who is in your life right now, and he's there. And let's kind of break down verse 4 and 5 really quick here, and maybe even 6, because 6 is the one that I really want to end with. But when the appropriate time had come, God sent out his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we may be adopted as sons with full rights. God sent his Son at the exact right time, the perfect time for us, and it gave us the opportunity to become his sons and daughters. So if you're having a hard time and if you're not saved, if you don't understand salvation, then I would encourage you to come to that relationship with God. Because if you haven't, you're missing out. Because he is the perfect father. But a lot of us have daddy wounds. I think there's studies that show pretty much everybody have wounds from their father, whether he was a good dad or not. They all have something that they can hold up against the earthly father. But if you want to have the relationship with a perfect father, it's there for you. Let's finish with verse 6. And because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, who calls Abba Father. What does Abba mean?
Papa Daddy.
Papa Daddy. If you're missing that hole in your heart, is missing a dad, the only way it's going to get filled is with God. And the only way you can get to him is through the Son, Jesus Christ. So if you're having a hard time celebrating Father's Day today, whether you have a father who died early, whether you don't have a dad who's involved with your life, there's a dad who is there for you. That you can call him Papa Daddy, just like Val said. Abba Father means Papa Daddy. If you have that hole in your heart, that I encourage you, instead of looking at your earthly dad on this day, look at your heavenly father, the Papa Daddy, who can fill that void in your heart. And he's the only one who can do it. So I want to thank you, fathers. Again, we had you stand and we clapped for you earlier. As hard as it is to enjoy this day, I want you to enjoy it. And I'm going to try to enjoy it too. Maybe encourage myself to grow in maybe all 5 of these areas. And maybe some more that were not listed today. But I want to encourage you 2 things. 1, fathers, if you have areas where you're struggling and you're lacking and you feel guilty about having a day set aside for you, don't feel guilty. Feel motivated to change, to maybe start doing a few of these things that you haven't been doing. And it's more of an encouragement than a shame, because Father's Day isn't here to show you how awful you are as a parent. It's here to hopefully remind you to do the right thing. And the last point is, if you don't have a father to celebrate with today, take joy in the fact that you have a heavenly father, because he's much greater, more perfect than any father you could have on this earth. Okay? Mark, would you pray for us? Thanks.